Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. Nice to have you here. And we are really happy. I'm delighted to welcome our guest, Loretta Harrington, who is coming back to us today. She has been on these broadcasts now. She's done a number of shows here on Close Up Talk Radio, and hopefully you have heard some of them because they really are amazing broadcasts. Loretta is a remarkable woman. If you don't know anything about her, let me just tell you a little bit. She is the wife of a retired Marine Corps colonel. They live in Fairfax, Virginia. Her husband, by the way, was a pilot. She is a former government executive, a small business owner, and as she described herself, an old soul with a youthful spirit. She had the good fortune to live a part of her life in Japan. She's traveled exclusively and extensively. And she's had work with many diverse cultures here in the United States and overseas, which have gifted her with what she considers life experiences unlike those that most others have, like you and I. But she views them with a global lens, and she develops deep emotional bonds with her friends, and she gravitates toward people who share her values. She has written a book, which is really an amazing story, and the book's title is A Piece of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey. And it really is her story of running into someone here in this day and age that she knows, she knew, maybe not hundreds, but many, many, many years ago in a previous lifetime. I don't know if you believe in previous lives. There are those who tell us that we all have had many, many lifetimes. I remember not too long, I think I said this on one of the shows, I interviewed a very highly regarded doctor here on CUTV News Radio who is convinced that he was a physician in Egypt 300 years ago. No question about it, no doubt, and he remembers much of it. He believes in past lives. A lot of people believe in past lives. Well, here you're going to have the opportunity to talk to someone who not only believes in a past life, she has someone here that she sees and talks to occasionally who shared that past life with her. And that really is what makes Loretta's story so unique. So it's with great pleasure I bring our guest, Loretta Harrington, from her headquarters in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., back on the lines with us today. So, Loretta, welcome. Nice to have you back again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Doug, and it's good to be back. Very good to be back.
Nice to have you back. I know you've done a lot of talking on you know, our broadcast lines about your story, so I'm just going to pitch in and ask you some questions that come to me about what your story. We will talk about your book. Your book tells this whole story. You self-published the book. You decided you were going to get down, sit down, and actually write the story, which is something, you know, so many people – well, many people never think they'll write a book. There are those who think they might do it, but then they put it off. You sat down and did it, so congratulations. And it's an amazing story, and you've gotten an amazing reaction to it. So, which all causes me to want to ask you, do the people who know you personally, you know, that you run into, and know that you've written this book and what your story is all about, do you think they believe you? Really?
Well, for the most part, I think they do. I'd have to qualify that, Doug, by saying my circle of friends is small, and they know me quite well, so they don't think I'm kooky in any way or a weirdo. And after having read the book, they've admitted to me that they've had thoughts like this in their own lives about they just have these feelings that they've been there before or have said that before and met this person or had this, like, deja vu experience. Now, for them to take on the thought that they've had past lives, for some it may be a bridge too far for them. Like my husband is a bit of a skeptic. However, he doesn't dismiss this out of hand either. So for me, to talk about this, I talk about it in comfortable settings, and quite frankly, I grappled with writing the book for several months because I knew, Doug, if I wrote this book and put this in my story, then my family would see it, my friends and other folks who found the book interesting, would realize that I was opening up a deep part of my personal life. So it's something that I just didn't wake up one day and say, I've had a past life. No, it was very much of a journey.
You know, it's interesting. You have a wonderful website. The website, by the way, is lorettaharrington.me. What's the ME stand for? Do you know? That's a new one to me. It's just me?
It's just me.
Yeah, okay, cool. We're getting all kinds of new domains now, so that's a unique one. Again, LorettaHarrington.me. On the website, if you scroll through it and examine it, you'll see there are a number of pictures in there where obviously you're talking to various small groups of people who've come to hear you tell your story. There are a couple, you're obviously in a bookstore talking to some gathered folks. How do they react to you in person when you're talking about your story? What kind of feedback do you get? And I assume these are mostly people who have not read the book.
Well, that's right. That's right. Now, my book is both in English and in Georgian because I had it translated to Zora's, who's the main character in the book, his native language. And at the book signing, when I presented my story, they were fascinated. Just absolutely fascinated, and a lot of questions about, well, what was it that attracted you to this man from Georgia, and where did this all come from? A lot of questions about how this began. It's a book that makes people think. It's a book that people can take and read in about three and a half hours and relate to the story in various ways, from a family connection, their own personal family connections, from experiences that they've had in their own lives. And the funny little thing about this, Doug, is that people would say, you know, I've really thought about this long and hard, but I was afraid to say anything publicly for fear that people would think I'm just kind of out of it. But the real is, and that's the truth. And I would say it's quite all right. There's a lot more people who think like we do than don't, and are fascinated by it, and they're inquisitive. So they may just take the next step and do some research themselves. And it does open up a lot in terms of one's thinking and outlook. And I think that's what people are looking for, Doug, how to look at things differently, how to assess situations and see if they fit in. And if this is a situation where they want to spend their time and energy and love and kindness for someone, because haven't we all found people that we've turned ourselves inside out for, and they've walked away and they've said, thanks, but no thanks. And you're thinking, well, gee, I just spent all this time and energy, and how unappreciative. But there's a reason for that. And the reason is they weren't meant to be in your circle. It was perfectly fine for them to come in for a period of time. You find yourself giving more than receiving. But with this connection, if it's a serious connection, it's a two-way relationship. And so people realize that they've given in a one-way relationship, and they realize it's just not something they want to do for the rest of their lives, and they become more discerning in terms of who they bring into their circle. And so that's what they primarily walk away with.
Do they ask you how you began this journey? Because they might want to try it themselves?
Yes, they're fascinated by how I got to where I am today, and the book especially. And
tell us. How did you?
I began.
It's a great question.
Yes, it is. I began this journey in 2006, and I worked with a wonderful individual, Alice DeVille. She's a metaphysicist. and a life coach, an astrologer, and she uses some other tools. Very serious individual. I met her through a third party, and we developed a relationship. And one day I said to her, Alice, I really need to know, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? What path is open to me? What path should I just walk away from? She said, why don't we begin working together in a soul path analysis? So that's what
Let me interrupt you for a minute. Let me interrupt you for a minute. Why did you go to her to begin with? I mean, did you have some premonition that you'd had past lives at that point early on and wanted to investigate it there? Or did you just bump into her and find out what she does?
No.
I mean, why did you go to her?
I always had a sense that I had a different place in this life, because at some times I felt like an alien. I didn't belong here. And it troubled me greatly, and I was wrestling with it. And I found her through a trusted third party. And she said, I want you to meet this person. And I did. And we struck up a conversation, and I looked at her and I said, Alice, I said, I believe that there's something that you want to say to me, or there's something you want to do with me together. And she said, well, that's your choice. And I said, I've had these questions since I was a young child, and I don't know what to do about it, or do I need to take medication? And I'm just joking. But she said, why don't we have a private conversation? And she's extremely intuitive, and I am as well. And that's how our relationship began prior to 2006. And we would have sessions where she would guide me through some everyday occurrences and some decisions that I needed to make about career choices, etc. But I went deeper with her. And that's why we began seriously looking at past lives, soul connections, soulmates, and soul path analysis. And as people, through this period of time, Doug, through our work, I would introduce her to people in our conversations, and she would say, okay, now be careful here because of this. And she would analyze my chart, my birth chart, and we would go through it step by step. And I would find from her validation, and she would say, you've done this before, you know what you have to do, it's be confident, take the next step, you can make this decision. And so as a result of years of work and opening up my thinking and my approach to decision making and accepting people is how I began the journey, and how I stay with her to this day for guidance, and how this relationship with Zora was explained to me in a non-threatening way, because it scared me quite a bit, the reaction that I had. But because I had been, the reaction that I had upon meeting Zora, but because I had done this work with her through the years, I knew that my world was rocked, and there was a reason for it. And she was the first person I called, and she said, when things settle down, let's talk about this. And we have continued to talk about this soul connection to this day when I talk with her and when we have a conversation. So the journey began seriously in 2006. I had met her prior to that, but I always knew, Doug, that there were places where I belonged and places where I didn't belong, but I didn't know what was behind it. And I've just learned about it.
Yeah, this is all so amazing. I want to ask you about it. At what point did Zora, this is the person that is near you right now, who you shared this journey with years ago, many, many years ago. Where did he come into the picture? At what point? And how did you come across him?
He came into the picture, and this is frequently the case when you meet a soulmate. You have a life event. My life event was my father. And I was taking care of my father when he was dying, and we needed help. And hospice care recommended a private agency, healthcare agency. And that's how I found Zora, because he was working for the agency, had just finished up an assignment. And I said, how quickly can he start? And she said to me, immediately. I said, like this afternoon, she said, yes, I've called him, I've talked with him, and he's available. So that's how our connection began, when he came into my family's life and my home that I grew up in to help me with taking care of Dad in his remaining days. And he was with
me
the day
that
Dad... Oh, that was in 2009.
Okay, so you've been on this journey for 3 years at that point. You were aware of it. You were interested in it. Okay, cool. So then he comes into your home. So then what happened?
Well, we saw Dad pass away, and the bond was strengthened at that moment. And there was a part of me that said, I can't let this young man leave my life. And I was bound and determined not to allow him to leave. So because I had been talking to Alice, she said, you need to be careful, because your soul recognized him before his recognized you. He knows there's a connection, but he doesn't feel it as strongly as you do. So she helped me through the ensuing months to take it step by step. So I began to educate Zora as to why we were still connected in the strong sense of feeling and relationship. And he was grappling with it, Doug. He would say, why is this happening? And I would just say, it's because of God's will. Let's just play it out. So I brought him along. And to this day, if you would ask him what all this meant to him, he would say, I just knew that Loretta cared for me, that I wanted to stay in touch with her, and that we are family now. And in the Georgian culture, family is incredibly important. Friends are considered family, Doug. And he said it was all about being alone and finding someone who cared for me, who didn't judge me, who allowed me to come into their home and trusted me. And that's the operative word, trust. But you're right. You're absolutely right. If I didn't have this experience beginning in 2006 to come to a greater understanding of myself, I may have closed the door forever. And I felt an attraction that I couldn't do that. Something inside of me was saying, don't let go. Keep this person close to you and see where it takes you. Well, that was 2009, and here we are in 2018.
How about that? Wow. Let me ask you another thing. How did you finally figure out, between the two of you, where your connection began? How many years ago? How many years ago was it, by the way? What past life?
Yes, I had that analyzed again by Alice DeVille, and probably went back about 100 years. And I took my time explaining all of this to Zora, because quite honestly, Doug, I was, I was absorbing too. I was processing all along. And what she came up with in her analysis is quite fascinating. Our paths crossed in Europe, mostly Eastern Europe. That makes sense, because he's from the country of Georgia. And I had my DNA done, and I have over 73% of my DNA is directly in alignment with the countries of Eastern Europe, including the country of Georgia, Poland, Ukraine, Russia, Germany. Our paths crossed in Russia, in Germany, in Amsterdam, and in various capacities. In one life, he could have been my sister. In another life, I was his aunt. In another life, he was worked for my family in some capacity. And all of this was analyzed and explained to me. And that makes sense to me, Doug, because if I was unable to communicate this to him, I would have lost Zora in this lifetime, and I didn't want that to happen again. And the other strong connection is our love of history, politics. He's coming from a former Soviet Union country. I felt a strong connection to that. When I interviewed him for the book, he went into detail about what life was like. Well, I related because I had that experience myself. So I had this connection, very strong connection all along. I just wanted it to be deeper and to understand more. And we're still learning. To this day, we still learn things about ourselves.
So there are no specific moments that you can recall. Do you know what I mean? Like a specific moment where you two were at the same place at the same time and you did something that both of you remember. No, nothing like that comes back, does it?
No, it doesn't. For me, it doesn't.
Okay.
Now, I've heard others that have that clairvoyant moment, but for me, it's more of an imprint on my soul and spirit.
Okay.
It's just it's just remembering.
By the way, has Alice DeVille met Zora? Have you gotten them together?
Yes.
And has she kind of traced his background too, like she did with you?
Yes. She traced both of ours at the same analysis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's no question. There is a real connection there no doubt about it. There's a definite connection there. Do you think, by the way, that there are other people in your life that you may have the same kind of situation with as Zora?
Yes.
It's possible, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It most definitely is. And do I want to find that out? Of course I can find that out, but I already know. I already have the answer to the question. I'm connected with them simply because we're very comfortable, and I'm talking about some close friends, very comfortable with them. They've read my story. I met them long before my story. But I knew that there was that certain comfort level because we I call myself an old soul, as you said in the introduction. We see people. We have a sense about we're intuitive enough to know how to understand people and connect with them. It's not complicated. We don't like complications. We can relate to other people because in all likelihood, they've been around for a while too, and they are attracted to me and I to them. And we've taken the time to get to know each other. Do I believe it? You bet I believe it.
Interesting. For those listening who may be wondering if they would have a soulmate like you do, who's in their midst, what kind of advice do you give people? I'm sure you get asked this by people who listen to you, like the folks sitting around you in the bookstore. And, I have to believe people they got to be open to considering this. I know there's some people, that's poo-poo, they just don't believe it at all. But what do you suggest to people on how they go about finding out if indeed they've had past lives and there might be somebody that they shared moments with, in different situations? How do you think what's the best way to begin?
Well, the best way to begin is to make sure that they have a basic understanding and they're opened up to the theory, to the experience. Some people marry their soulmates, most do not, from what I understand. We have primary soulmates, secondary soulmates. There's a lot of information out there on this subject. A lot of books have been written. I would say to them, look, if you feel that there's a strong connection to someone and you're willing to nurture that connection, I would suggest that they do that. If they reach a point where they say, well, it looks like the relationship or the friendship, whether it be romantic or not, is it just seems to be falling apart or going just going its own way, I would say let it. Because in my past, I have felt sad about losing business colleagues or friends that I thought that I had a strong relationship or a bond with, and they've just kind of faded away. And I would take it upon myself to think, what did have I done wrong? But you know something? I didn't do anything wrong. They weren't meant to stay. They were meant to come in our lives, bring something to us, and leave. And the same for me. I'm meant to be close to some people more so than others. And those others, I was meant to just give them something. Like today I had a call from a professional. She's seeking advice, professional advice. And here's what I would offer. If it feels comfortable, it's pursue it. If there's a lingering doubt or a nagging thought that it's just not a good fit for you, whether it's a job or a relationship, don't force it. It's your intuition telling you it's time to take a look at some other options. I didn't always do that early in my life, personally and professionally. But now I have a much more rewarding personal life and professional life because I know that it's not me all the time, that I'm not turning myself inside out, Doug, to make something work. If it does, it does. If it doesn't, it's meant to be. So I would say let go a little bit, not force the situation, but give it a fair amount of time. And honestly, if it's not something that feels entirely right to you, walk away.
Yeah, yeah. How has writing the book, changed your life? Has it at all?
Oh, dramatically. It's changed my life. In one important way, and that is I'm allowing myself to feel more. And by that I mean allow myself to not be vulnerable so much, but to accept laughter, accept a hug, accept a pat on the back. Whereas before, keep in mind, I'm coming from the business, corporate life, and government, where a pat on the back could be misunderstood. I say that jokingly, but the point is that you're working with processes and procedures and regulations, and so you don't really allow yourself to be opened up to personal conversations and relationships. Whereas now, I feel far more comfortable with talking, just as I'm talking to you and putting this out to your audience today, opening myself up. 10 years ago, this would not have been the case.
Yeah, yeah. I can believe that. I can totally believe that. Well, listen, we've gone through another half hour. It's just, you know, it's so fascinating talking to you because you're so down to earth. You're so level. I mean, let's face it, Loretta drives a motorcycle, folks. She's a motorcycle girl. You're so believable, and this is such a subject that a lot of people find hard believing, that, you know, it's hard to understand, but if you have an open mind, you know, I think you really can go along for the ride. That's what I love talking to you about, because I'm going along on the ride with you, and I'm thinking, golly, maybe I have the same kind of experience. I just got to look for it, find out. Maybe all of us do. Anyway, listen, we've run out of time, Loretta. We're going to be again, I'll chatting with you again Monday, June 18th, and then again on Wednesday. That's 2 weeks from today. So I look forward to it, and I love chatting with you. Thank you so much. It's been a most unusual day. Okay?
My pleasure.
Thank you, my dear.
Thank you.
That's it, everybody. Another great show with Loretta Harrington. Go to her website. It's wonderful. You'll enjoy it. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Well, that's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks so much. See you next time. Till then, have a great day. Bye-bye.